Hello, so welcome to Empowering Minds podcast, and we've got another episode and we have another guest speaker. So because I am all about well-being, mind, body and soul, what I thought would be really cool is if we spoke to somebody who's really knowledgeable about nutrition. So today I want to introduce everybody to Amanda Mercer. So hi, Amanda. And Amanda is actually in New Zealand. Don't be fooled by the accent. She is from Ireland, but she's moved to New Zealand. I'm sure she'll tell us a little bit about that. So here, welcome, Amanda, to Empowering Minds podcast.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for having me. This is great. My first podcast.
No problem. Well, I'm not exactly a professional, so we can work it out as we go along. So first of all, tell me, what brought you to New Zealand from Ireland? How would you leave this wonderful rainy weather to go on the other side of the world?
Oh, I know. I graduated from university and didn't want to get a proper job and start adulting and have responsibilities. And of course, the pressure is on from the parents to, can't get a job. And yeah, I don't know, it just didn't really appeal to me. So I kind of was like, oh, what can I do that will get everybody off my back? And I was just like, oh, let's go traveling. So pretty much gave my parents and, you know, friends and stuff about 3 months' notice. Told them in, I think it was like end of June, and went by the end of September, just after my birthday. And originally actually went over to Australia for a year.
Right.
Didn't know if I was going to like it or not. And I just thought, you know, again, just put no expectations or no pressure on myself. And I just thought, oh, I'll go. And if I like it, great. And if I don't, you know, I can always come home. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
And traveled around Australia, mostly lived in Melbourne. Absolutely loved it. Didn't do my fruit picking. So unfortunately, I couldn't get my second year visa. So for anybody that is going over to Australia, do the fruit picking or pay somebody to say that you did the fruit picking. And then I had a few friends that I'd met in Australia that were living over in New Zealand, had never planned to go to New Zealand, and thought I'd, you know, do my year in Australia and then go home. But it's quite enjoying the traveling. Then moved over to New Zealand. Again, same thing, did a work and holiday visa. Didn't think I'd stay there for that long. And then was just really lucky with, different kind of visas and stuff. And yeah, I've been in New Zealand 10 and a half years. So I've been away from home 11 and a half years, which is crazy. Just literally thought I was going for a year.
And then, so do you get back home much?
Yes, I normally go back home about every year and a half.
Okay.
Kind of max. That's all I've been able to do. Obviously, the pandemic was a different story.
Sure.
Which was a bit of a pain. We were actually supposed to get married in Thailand.
Right.
My whole family and, you know, loads of our, my partner, he's from New Zealand. So, you know, we'd kind of everybody coming over to Thailand. You know, we're going to do like a big Christmas together. And of course, you know, COVID hit. Weren't able to go to Thailand to get married, unfortunately, which was a pain. So it's been 3.5 years since I've seen my family.
Oh wow. Oh
yeah, it's been a long time.
A long time,
But we're going to Thailand in October. So yeah, really looking forward to that.
Amazing. Wow, what a story.
During the countdown.
Right. So in New Zealand, you are studying nutrition. So tell me a little bit about how that's all going. And I know you've got an Instagram, Eat Yourself Healthy Nutrition. So what's your aims and goals around that? And what would you like to share with the audience?
It's actually really interesting. Whenever, you know, I kind of left home, I was I would now say, you know, like a really kind of unhealthy lifestyle. Like I really didn't look after my health. I didn't exercise. I didn't, you know, kind of eat any form of fruit or vegetable. Mm. I probably drank a bit too much alcohol, you know, early 20s.
I'm with you now.
drank a lot of kind of sugary drinks just and didn't really think about, you know, kind of like my weight, or, you know, like eating, you know, for like good health, or, you know, I didn't really think about what I was putting kind of like into my body and how that made me feel or anything like that. And then it's just been kind of gradually over the last probably about 7 or 8 years that I just kind of slowly changed things and kind of built up better habits. You know, I started eating a bit more vegetables with my meals. I had a lifestyle change with jobs. So I went from kind of working in hospital to getting office work. So that also helped, I think, a bit as well, where, you know, there wasn't drinking every night after work. And, you know, I worked in an Italian restaurant at the time, so we got a lot of our meals made. So, you know, I was eating, you know, like creamy carbonara and, you know, all the different pasta dishes, you know, pretty much 3 days a week for 5 or 6 days.
Wow.
So it was, and I didn't even think of like, oh, you know, maybe I should eat some, you know, vegetables or anything like that. And then, I pretty much just started kind of like going to the gym, doing a bit more walking, and just kind of slowly built from there with different kind of small habits. Set myself a goal to, you know, do a 10K run. Absolutely hated running when I started. Like, oh my God, was so unfit. Like, just everything was just so hard.
Yes, and, I hear you.
But I set myself the goal and I just like, I'm just, you know, going to do the 10K. I'll see how I go. Ideally, you know, I kind of wanted to do it within the hour, and I managed to do it in 58 minutes and 58 seconds.
That's really good, isn't it?
there's a lot of resilience and kind of being a bit stubborn to get over that line before the 60 minutes was up. And yeah, I don't know, just kind of gradually over the last few years with just consistency and, you know, good habits, and, you know, started to kind of lose a bit of weight, and I just started to feel so much better. And then I kind of started to take a bit more interest in what I was eating. And I think then from then I've just kind of always been interested in nutrition. And, you know, but then when you have kind of like a full-time office job, and I was just kind of like, oh, you know, I've kind of got this career in project management, you know, early 30s, and I'm going to start now to actually, you know, change careers, and oh God, am I too old for this? And, you know, then COVID hits, and then of course this just kind of makes you rethink everything in your life.
Totally.
Yes, and I just decided, oh, to hell with it. I'm just going to go with it. I've always wanted to study nutrition. I've put it off. You know, I just, what I've learned kind of over the years, I thought I knew about nutrition, and then I'm doing the course, and then I'm just like, wow, I actually knew nothing about nutrition before this. So it's just been so fascinating. I absolutely love it. You know, I really like the mindset kind of part of it as well, and kind of getting people into that headspace of, you know, how you can actually implement some of these changes and make more of that kind of lifelong sustainable I think healthy habits, rather than kind of like doing, you know, an all or nothing approach.
Totally. And I think that's it's like those tweaks that you can make, small tweaks you can make to your eating habits, could, you know, maybe sort of like we were talking earlier about eating much more of a balanced meals with lots more vegetables, and understanding how that's not going to necessarily add time to your day, or like another thing to think about. And we're all about convenience and trying to make things easier, aren't we? And I know that's something that you're kind of passionate about, trying to sort of teach people different ways and how they can do that.
Yeah, because I think as well, a lot of people, you know, kind of underestimate, you know, the power of like the small change, and people think, oh, but if I want to be, you know, healthy, or if I want to, you know, like lose weight or anything, you know, I have to do all of these different things. I think that's where a lot of kind of, you know, New Year's resolutions and all that kind of stuff feel. You know, because people will, you know, I'm gonna go to the gym, you know, for 1 hour 6 days a week, and I'm never gonna eat chocolate again. And then it's kind of things like that, if you, especially if you're starting off from, you know, having never stepped foot in a gym.
Yeah.
You're never going to, you know, try and go five or six times for an hour. So sometimes I think people, you know, unfortunately do put themselves up for failure, because you're not actually setting yourself up to succeed, because you're making the change and, you know, the goal kind of like too big from where you're at.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think I cover this a lot, actually. I've got a goal setter program, and one of the things, I mean, I have a big, massive weight loss goal. I mean, big, massive weight loss goal, it's absolutely true, that I set myself. And, you know, it feels such a challenge, actually. And it isn't about, you know, focusing on that number that I want to lose or the number on the scales that I want to be in. It's not necessarily about that. It's about every day thinking about the small change you can make that's leading you to that goal, and not really focusing so much on the outcome, but focusing on just the here and now. And so those things and those choices and those decisions, whether it be, you know, increasing your exercise, whether it be changing your nutritional habits, whatever it might be, it's about the small incremental steps that you make, rather than thinking, oh God, I want to do that, but it feels so hard and it's so long. You know, like one of the things I wanted to do, I'll tell you this earlier, that because I like walking, is I want to climb, I put this challenge myself to climb Ben Nevis, before I'm 50. And I'm 48 and I'll be 49 this year. So I've got a year and a bit, really. And I know I can't just go and walk and climb Ben Nevis now. You know, I'm going to have to do a few more smaller hills first, right? So the challenge then becomes, what can I do today? So I go on a walk today to build up my resilience to be able to do those bigger goals, right? And it is all about that, those little small tweaks that you make. Sorry, I hijacked that.
but it is good, because I think as well, you know, when you kind of try and implement the small changes, you know, and if you're trying to start off with something new, you know, do a small thing, like, you know, just being like, okay, you know, I want to, you know, start walking more. You know, just being like, all right, cool, every day I'm going to go for a 10 minute walk, and that's it. And you just literally go for 10 minutes, you know, or, you know, whatever you think you can do every day, and just start off with building the habit.
Yeah.
Then that helps, you know, build your self efficacy and your confidence, because you're just like, oh, great. Yeah, like I can do this, and you know, and then you kind of go from there where you can build it, and then, you know, you can gradually kind of, you know, add on, you know, maybe an extra 10 minutes or whatever. And you know, it's great, because you know, you're getting outdoors, it you know, can kind of help, I think, with your mood as well.
Definitely.
A lot of the time you're getting the fresh air, you know, it kind of sets you up in that mindset of, you know, okay, you know, I am being a bit more healthy now. And then I think sometimes then that can kind of build that momentum then to flow into kind of other areas of your life, because you start to kind of feel a bit better. And then you're just like, oh, well, you know, okay, maybe then I might kind of look at my food. And again, same thing, don't try and overhaul your whole diet.
Yes.
You know, maybe try and focus on one meal that you could be like, okay, you know, a bit more time maybe at dinner when you're home. So I might maybe try and add, you know, a bit more vegetables into some of my meals, you know, and you might just kind of start with that, or, you know, just kind of looking at one area that you can improve and just kind of, you know, build on it from there.
I mean, that's a really good tip, actually. I never thought about that. Like, you know, so yeah, if you want to kind of think, I want to start eating healthily, we'll start with one meal that you can swap out for something healthier version of that meal, whatever it might be, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, whatever people eat. Rather than thinking they have to, you know, literally just have diet kind of, they call it that, don't they? Diet food for every single meal. That seems a big thing, a big change, and people are much more resistant to that. But actually making a tweak, maybe just focusing on that one thing, that could make the difference between somebody actually achieving those goals and not, really.
Definitely, because sometimes I can feel too big.
Yeah, it's a big thing, isn't it? I mean, I know I've been in that, and I, you know, I'm a mindset coach, so I've, you know, I can struggle with mindset too. So sometimes you have to flip it around and say, right, well, what can I do today, rather than what am I having to achieve? I'm going to have to do this for the next 6 months to get to my goal weight, you know, rather, and that feels such a long time away. But then break that down and go, well, what can I do today? But I mean, I think, you know, the weight loss and the weight goals aside, which I guess probably prompts most people to look at their diet and look at their, you know, what they're eating. But I also think that for other kind of health benefits. I mean, I have a lot of people that I know who suffer from, you know, chronic illnesses, pain illnesses, menopausal symptoms, all of these things. And everybody kind of then starts with, like, you know, we would all do is look at you, what you're putting into your body first and foremost in terms of your nutrition, to see if you can then maybe help with things like that. Have you got any kind of tips around that kind of thing in terms of well-being? What kind of nutritional foods would be good for you to introduce or eat less of? Different types of food that would help with things like that.
Yeah. So I think if people can, you know, try and not completely cut out, but definitely, you know, kind of reduce the amount of highly processed foods that they eat. Just because they tend to not be very nutritionally dense, like they're quite high in calories, but they don't tend to give, you know, you an awful lot of nutrition, and, you know, kind of like your vitamins and minerals, because a lot of the time they're quite low in protein. They don't have an awful lot of, you know, vegetables or fruits or anything in them. So I think, yeah, trying to just rebalance kind of how much of those highly processed foods that you're eating. I do find that quite a lot of people don't eat a lot of protein kind of throughout the day,
right?
So it tends to be kind of their later meals at dinner, you know, when you kind of sit down, and that's when you tend to eat, you know, kind of like a bigger portion of protein. But normally, you know, earlier throughout the day, you know, and I don't really want to say, you know, breakfast, because, you know, I don't want people to feel like, you know, oh, we have to eat breakfast. Because you don't. Yeah, breakfast is not the most important meal of the day.
Yay! But for somebody who's never eaten breakfast, because I just can't eat that early in the morning, that's music to my ears, because we are conditioned to think that we have to have breakfast every morning and that it is the most important meal of the day. So I'm really pleased that somebody has actually put some common sense to that, because I don't actually think that's the case. But go on.
No, it's not, because like it doesn't boost your metabolism, or, you know, it doesn't, if you don't eat it, it's not going to like slow it down, or, you know, it doesn't have like a damaging effect. Like your body is extremely intelligent. It's just the body is amazing for like for what it does. So we won't try and trick it with breakfast at, you know, before 9 a.m and it'll boost your metabolism. The body knows better than that. Eating breakfast doesn't kind of have any magical power when it comes to boosting your metabolism or anything. You know, so if you, and I think again it's kind of like some of the marketing and, you know, different things that we've kind of been brought up with, where,
sure,
you know, it's just kind of a belief that we have that, you know, we've kind of never questioned. We've just kind of always assumed, oh yeah, it's true. But I think, yeah, definitely, if, you know, you get up in the morning and you don't feel like eating, then don't force yourself to eat. But I do find that, you know, the first meal, you know, probably like the first maybe one or two meals that people eat, they tend to not be quite high in protein. You know, and I think that's sometimes because people, you know, maybe just eat toast, or, you know, they might maybe just grab for like a scone, or, you know, kind of something like that, rather than, you know, kind of trying to add, you know, some more protein kind of into those meals,
which,
you know, protein is just such a key macronutrient. It's so important. It's not just for, you know, like bodybuilders, because they're trying to build muscle. You know, it's great for you know, your immune function. You know, proteins pretty much like make up so much of your body, with, you know, your enzymes for your digestion. You know, your hair, your skin, your nails are all made of proteins. So it is, you know, such an important macronutrient that I think, you know, if that's kind of one area that probably maybe people could start to look at, even, you know, if you are again on that weight loss journey, it's the most satiating of all the macronutrients. So if you do find that you are kind of getting hungry throughout the day, and that maybe, you know, a bit difficult to manage, you know, maybe looking at your protein, especially in the morning. You know, like I'm again a creature of habit, and I just like love my protein oats, and it's so handy. It's just such a good way for me to get in protein.
Yes.
You know, you could do it with, you know, like scrambled egg, you can do scrambled tofu, you know, like smoked salmon. You know, your Greek yogurt is actually can be quite high in protein for some of the brands. You know, you could do that, some of your fruit, granola. On top of that, yeah, there's certain things you can do with like black beans and, you know, just kind of different things to kind of like mix it up. And yeah, I think the same with lunch as well. You can sometimes tend to not eat a lot of protein as well, which, you know, can kind of give you that bit of a slump kind of at 3 p.m.
Yes.
When everybody's just like, I'm hungry and I need something.
And it is like, I think we talked about this, it's because we've tended to have this habit, and again, you know, this kind of conditioning, and this is what's available in the shops. You know, you get your meal deals, don't you, which consist of sandwich, a fizzy drink, and maybe a packet of crisps, which is very heavy, carb-laden food, which tends to give us that slump, doesn't it? And there's very little protein in that kind of thing. And we do tend to do that. We do tend to, like, go and grab something at lunch, particularly if we go out and we're working, you know, and we're actually, I work from home, so I can have what I want, and I don't tend to get a meal deal anymore. But most people, if they work in offices, and certainly when I used to work in an office, that would be exactly what we would do. Every lunchtime, you get a meal deal from the local supermarket or shop, and it's a sandwich, and it's a packet of crisps, and it's a bottle of fizzy pop or something, you know. Just like when you think about that now, it's shocking how nutritionally deficient that is. So
yeah, but it's so hard because again it's like, you know, kind of like what you're used to.
And it's about making those changes, and so getting up, I guess you're right, like getting more of the whole foods into our diet without it feeling like it's an extra thing that we have to do, or it's, you know, it's somehow hard for us to do. And I think there is an element of that some of us have lost that ability to cook meals from scratch anymore because things are so convenient. But I do think we're also moving towards that, you know, wondering where our food's coming from a little bit more, and, you know, looking at packaging and looking at what's added into the foods. But I think, yeah, we've got a long way to go. So, and I know we're short on time, so I want you to be able to and I know, you mentioned to me on your Instagram, you like to be able to share all these kind of tips with people about how they can get extra vegetables in their diet. So do you want to share a few of those little hacks with us on here?
So, I suppose some of the things just kind of that I hear is, you know, people are just kind of like, oh, I don't have time. You know, so I do kind of like to try and share, you know, just kind of real quick one pot dishes with people. And I do think, you know, for a lot of those, especially, you know, if you're making like a curry or a stew or anything like that, it's just so easy to, like, don't be afraid of using frozen vegetables. I feel like they've kind of gotten a bad rep that they're not as nutritionally good, or, oh, you know, like you lose so much of the vitamins and minerals. Should always buy, you know, fresh fruit and veg, and don't be buying frozen. And that's not actually the case. You know, frozen vegetables are just as good as fresh vegetables. And, you know, if you do kind of are making curries or, you know, anything like that, like I just tend to just put in, you know, like a whole heap of frozen vegetables. You can get, you know, so many different types with the different, you know, four or five different vegetables in it, which is, you know, great. You know, and especially if you're making a sauce or anything, you know, you can even put it in the blender and, you know, disguise everything that you've added in, which can be quite beneficial. And I think as well, you know, there also seems to be a bit of a pressure, you know, or there was anyway a couple of years ago around, you know, only having to eat even organic fruit and vegetables. You know, because there was a bit of scaremongering, you know, around kind of like the pesticides and stuff. And you know, in my course, they did kind of like touch on that. It was kind of called like the myth busting section. And they have done, you know, research and meta analysis on that. And, you know, while organic, yes, there are less pesticides, you know, kind of spread on the fruit and vegetables. Even if you just eat, you know, non-organic fruit and vegetables, the pesticides, you know, that you would kind of consume and digest are so small and so minute, you know, that it won't cause any issues or toxicity or anything within your body. You know, so it's not as if you have to fear them or anything, because I know for some people, you know, the cost of fruit and veg can be quite expensive.
And it's a barrier.
Yeah. And then if you're being told, oh, you know, you have to eat organic because it's even healthier.
It's
and
another barrier.
Yes. So it's just kind of, you know, kind of, yeah, doing, you know, I suppose kind of breaking down that those barriers where, you know, it doesn't have to be organic. You know, if you don't eat non-organic food, you know, you're not going to be doing any harm to your body or anything like that. You know,
well, that's really, that's really interesting because I think that's exactly what we've kind of been conditioned to think, that it's got to be organic because the alternative is you are putting harmful things into your body. And it is ludicrous, really, because then people choose not to do it at all, not to eat any vegetables at all, because they can't buy the vegetables that are deemed to be the best. But I mean, like, you know, like you said, you know, even if you can only afford to buy a bag of frozen vegetables, that's better than no vegetables, right? You know, so, you know, do that. And one of the good things I think you mentioned about putting them in other recipes, you can kind of disguise the fact that the vegetables in there would be ideal for children as well, getting the children to eat more vegetables and not actually realizing that they're eating vegetables, which I know some, not, it's not a problem I had personally, but I know lots of my friends and lots of other mums out there that might be listening might have those issues. So that would be a helpful tip for them, definitely.
Have you got any? Because it can bulk up your meals as well.
Yes.
You know, because ideally, you know, you'd want to be kind of eating, you know, kind of like a third or a half of your plate, you know, like full of vegetables and stuff. So it's also a good way where you can and balance that, so you're not eating, you know, like half a bowl of, you know, like rice and then a little bit of sauce and then, you know, like some of your protein or whatever. It's just kind of like it can kind of just bulk that up. You know, and eating vegetables full of, you know, all the vitamins and minerals, you know, that kind of you need. So when it comes to, you know, kind of supplementation and different things, if you're actually eating quite a good varied diet, you shouldn't really need to even buy, you know, any kind of supplementations, or people be taking multivitamins and you know, all of these like vitamin C and, you know, kind of different things. It's just like if you actually eat quite a varied diet and, you know, have good, you know, amounts of kind of fruit and veg or kind of each of your meals, then you're able to actually get like pretty much nearly all of your nutrients. And
I must admit, I always think of that about supplements. There must be a way that we can just literally get everything that we need from the food that we eat, and we shouldn't need to have these extra supplements. And I completely, because I just don't like taking anything like that at all. I'm a real pill phobia type person. So even if it's a vitamin pill, like I'm not one for wanting to put things in my body that I don't really know how they've been produced. I don't know. It's a new thing, this last 5 years I've had this obsession. But very much focused on thinking, well, if I need this extra boost in my body, then what are the foods that I need to eat more of to get that, you know? And it is about understanding what foods do for you, isn't it, I suppose? I mean, do you have like a list of, I'm not putting you on the spot a little bit maybe, but like a list of, you know, the top foods that can like cure ailments, not supposed to cure ailments, but, you know, that are good for gut health, I suppose, is probably what I'm saying. Because I think a lot of our illnesses and diseases that we have, and I may be wrong on this, but it feels to me that what I've been hearing is that, you know, it stems from having poor gut health, and some we have to focus on doing something about that. Are there any foods that we could eat more of, or foods we could eat less of, that would help with us, with people who have those issues?
Yeah, the gut health is really interesting, and it's definitely, I think, an area that over the next probably 5 years we're going to get, you know, quite a lot more research and stuff on, especially around, you know, that whole like gut brain axis.
Yes. Yes.
And yeah, how they kind of like talk to each other, because your guts, you know, they kind of talk about now as like your second brain. So I do, yeah. So there's still quite a lot of research, I think, going on in that space, especially, you know, again, when you talk about the supplementation with your probiotics and different things. There has been, you know, quite a bit of research on the different kind of probiotics And, you know, if you are actually looking in at taking a probiotic, you know, you definitely probably want to do your research and just trying kind of the different strains, because there's so many different strains of probiotics, and, you know, not all of them will have the same effect.
Yeah.
But definitely when it comes to kind of your gut health and, you know, kind of your good, you know, having a good variety of your gut microbiota and stuff in there, it's definitely comes down to, you know what I mean, your vegetables.
Right.
And making sure that you are actually getting enough of those vegetables, you know, because it's the fiber from those that, you know, isn't digested into your small intestine. Mm. It goes into your large intestine. And then that's kind of like where, you know, all of your gut microbiota and, you know, it's again kind of like that variety as well. You know, and the same with like nuts and seeds and different things as well, you know, they all kind of, you know, because they're not fully absorbed in your small intestine either. So they all go in there to your large intestine and all kind of contribute to that gut microbiota.
Right.
And it's just, again, kind of like having that variety. So, you know, if you are somebody that's, you know, maybe only eats peas or only eats carrots or, you know, you only eat like broccoli, it might maybe be, you know, your thing, you know, our goal maybe for each week might be like, okay, you know, and each, every time I go to the supermarket, I'm going to pick up a different fruit or veg that I've, you know, that I've never used before.
Wow,
never tried.
Good idea. And, yeah.
You know, I'll try and add that in. And again, eat what's in season well, you know, can be quite a good thing as well, because that kind of keeps that different variety and stuff.
Sure.
You know, like if you always eat almonds, like why not mix it up and maybe buy, you know, like some cashews or a mixed nut, you know, or add some of your seeds in. You know, it's when you kind of look at the variety in that you have, it can be, it sounds daunting when you say, oh my God, 8:30, you know, like different, you know, like fruit or veg and stuff and, you know, like with your nuts and seeds. But actually when you break it down, you could probably, you know, it's actually quite easy to do.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, one thing might be to, you know, switch up what you normally kind of do and swap it out for something a bit different. Because I know I try and do that with, you know, whatever's kind of in season at our local fruit and veg farmers market.
Yeah.
Like I look at some things and I just be like, oh my God, what is that? And then I'm just kind of like, all right, well, you know, I'll buy it and I'll give it a go. And, you know, there's the odd thing that I don't kind of like, and I'm just like, ugh. But yeah, the majority of the time, of course, it's something fun to do.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. And at least you've tried it and, you know, you can make that really fun. And it's almost like, right, we've bought this. We don't really know what it is. So we're going to find a recipe that calls for this. And it's something different and new, isn't it, to try? And you either like it or you don't. It's as simple as that. But at least you've tried it. And I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. We can get stuck with the same kind of variety of vegetables because it's what we've always done. And so who wouldn't get bored with that, right? So it is a good idea to sort of like, I don't know, add a bit of adventure to it. But I think it just sounds that, you know, it's like everything. And I think I talk about this a lot about just, you know, it comes down to those basics, doesn't it? And this is not rocket science. This is what we've been told forever, really. Eat much more whole foods, eat more vegetables, less processed foods, and we are going to have a positive impact on our health and well-being, physical and mental health and well-being. So I know I could literally talk to you all day because I like to talk, as you probably gathered. But I know I've got you up really, really early. It's about 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. now where you are. So I want to thank you very much for taking your time to speak to me today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put all the links to your Instagram in the show notes so that if people want to find out a little bit more, I know you've got some hacks and tips and recipes all on your Instagram that people can go in there and have a look and find out a little bit more. And if you want to find out if anyone put more questions down, if anybody wants any questions they want to pass on to Amanda, then again, put those down in the comments below and I'll pass those on. But in the meantime, I would just like to say thank you so much for your time. I hope you've enjoyed it, your very first podcast. Hopefully it won't be your last.
No, I've really enjoyed this.
I know, I have too. And yeah, so I will catch you on another. So in the meantime, I will catch everybody on another podcast. But for now, take care and bye.